Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop Podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with
Salt Lake Shear.
Salt Lake Shear, but not for much longer because you're going home.
Yes.
For 2 days. Arizona men's basketball played this morning early. That was weird, but actually wound up being a good thing. We'll talk about that later. Arizona won second round. Jason, tell the people what the final score was.
78-68, your Arizona Wildcats defeated the Dayton Flyers in a very calm, relaxing.
All right. We were all just drinking our mimosas and sitting back at the country club watching so casually, right?
Look, never a doubt. I was very calm. Anything you hear about me walking around the arena before the game twice to get rid of nervous energy, it is not true.
Absolutely. Not true. So the photos that the photos that were sent to me, that wasn't you.
No. Photos to you?
I actually have a couple photos of you, not walking around, but just you sitting in the press area. And then also we saw you on TV. But how much coffee did you drink this morning? Because you kind of had a whole bunch of coffee the last day.
I didn't. I've only had one cup a day.
Really?
Yeah.
Just one.
Seriously. Just one cup a day. Well, yesterday, Brian Peterson saw me dragging, and I went to go get a cup of coffee, and he poured Red Bull in my coffee. And I tried
Wow.
And it wasn't bad. And I had 3 heart attacks, and I'm back.
I was going to say, is Brian trying to convert you to be a Red Bull drinker?
I'm not a big Red Bull dude.
No, we don't really drink energy drinks, but. Anyway, it was very rowdy in the Shear household here in Tucson. Brielle and I may or may not have, scared the dogs and surprised that we didn't have neighbors calling the cops on us at one point. But, you know, that's just like the life cycle of the game of being an Arizona fan is being crazy. So, whatever. Before we begin hopping into the fun part, we're going to do the other fun part. Shout out our sponsor, and we're getting down to the end. We've been reading all of these for a long time. It's been on a good run, but I'm trying to figure out which one to read. Okay, investing should be easy. Buy low and sell high, but what seems simple can get tricky in a complex field. It's too easy to encounter pitfalls in the investment space, but seeking professional advice can help you reach your goals. At Longview Insurance and Investments, we're your local professionals based right here in Tucson. Let us help you create a personalized investment portfolio that reflects your unique risk tolerance, time horizon, and goals. Visit our website at www.longviewinsuranceandinvestments.com to learn mas. There you go. Shout out to Andre, who does have, he does message me during game, and he always asks me about you, like, I bet Jason's just so anxious right now, and you know, we chat during the game, so it's always fun to have that that connection. He is a good guy, and apparently every time he went to a game this season, he was seeing the not maybe super like interesting ones, where the ones that Arizona blew everybody out. But that was not the case today. Was the game what you expected? Like, did it track with our preview podcast?
I think it did, right? Like, we kind of said, look, if Arizona didn't shit the bed and and played its normal game. It was look, sometimes Eric, you play a team that's better than you, right? And it's like, look, you're gonna have to play really, really well. This was one of those games where if Arizona played well, I thought, and we discussed it, it would be very hard for Dayton to win. It was, you know, Arizona fans in typical Arizona fashion only pay attention to one side of the matchup, right? Like, oh, we got to do this, 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 and this. But no one ever says, well, Dayton or the other team has to do this, this, and this to stop us, right? It's just, and that's fandom in general. And I think leading up to the game, a lot of it was like, oh man, how do we do this and this to stop Dayton? And they're so good at this. And meanwhile, we're not talking at all, you know, about what Dayton has to do to stop Arizona. But yeah, I mean, Dayton's a solid team. I take nothing away from them. But at the end of the day, if those two teams play 10 dimes, Arizona's probably winning 8 of them.
Yeah, that's fair. I think so. Defensively, what went right and wrong for Arizona today?
You know, defensively, it was very interesting. You know, I think in terms of what went right, most of it, right? Like, most of it went right. Dayton scored 68 points. They only shot 40%. This is a team that is literally one of the best three-point shooting teams in the nation. We knew, you know, we said in the podcast, and Mike and I said it, if Arizona won this game, we knew exactly how it would play out. And if Arizona lost this game, we knew exactly how it would play out. Dayton went 7 of 24 from threes. They were 0 for 6, I believe, on transition threes. You know, Kobe Brea was 5 for 9 of 3. That dude is awesome. I mean, 50% from 3, and it's legit. The difference was in the second half, he was only 1 of 3 from 3. He made 1 3 the entire second half. Dayton only got off 9 three-point attempts in the entire second half. You know, fast break points, Dayton only had 4. Arizona's transition defense was probably the best that it's been all season. The only thing that you would be negative, and this kind of leads into the next question, Shelby, is Dayton eventually kind of did what we thought they might do and involved Umar Ballo in pick and roll action and pick and pop with Holmes. And that's not even Umar's fault. Like, his physical build and just the way he is, if there's an opposing team that is capable of doing it, they're going to do it, right? Like,
they're going to do it. Why wouldn't they do it?
Right. And so that's just something, like, you don't blame Umar. Umar's actually a really good defender man-to-man. But the difference is, like, if you could get him into space, and that's what Dayton started to do with their own homes and otherwise, and it just got a little difficult for Umar. But to me, when you look at the stats and all that and how Arizona defended, I thought this was one of Arizona's better defensive performances of the entire season.
Yeah, and someone as talented as Brea is going to get his. So you either, and we've talked about this in the past, and it'll lead into the next question too, but you got to pick your poison and in the way that you, you know, kind of plan out. Obviously, that's going to all be scouting and everything. But at some point, yeah, you're going to take those shots, and we're going to let you take those shots, and we're going to do all these other things over here. So if we can lock everybody else down, you know, team usually, unless you, you know, obviously Oakland the other night, even though they lost today, usually doesn't have someone scoring 30 plus points that's really going to make a huge difference in the game. So that was a really good game plan, which does lead into Tommy coached a heck of a game. What stood out to you about his decisions?
Yeah, someone texted me, and I don't know if it's true. I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but someone I trust texted me and said, I thought that was the best game Tommy's ever coached. You know, a lot of times fans, and I'm not being critical again, because a lot of times fans are right. But they're like, okay, why isn't this coach adjusting, right? Like, why? We're not trying anything. Tommy Lloyd's adjustments in this game were very, very, very clear, right? From the get-go, Arizona had increased ball pressure. And they basically said, we're not giving you anything from three. If you beat us off the dribble, if you set screens, whatever, that's what we're going to do, right? The drop coverage worked for a large chunk of the game early on, where basically when the screen was set, they would drop. So if Holmes cut, he was cutting right into Crevis or Ballo or whoever it may be. Eventually, Dayton figured that out late in the first half when they won on the 10-0 run. You know, Daron Holmes had 14 points on 5 of 7 shooting in the first half, Shelby. In the second half, he had 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting with 3 turnovers. You know, they just kind of adjusted overall. And one of the biggest adjustments was, you know, the end of the game, going to that small lineup. You know, it felt like it was a matter of time. I was a little surprised that Arizona didn't go to it earlier. But when he went to that small lineup and the ability to switch and the ability to get out on the perimeter and all that, it became very, very difficult for Dayton to get off anything. And Dayton was in a position where it needed threes. They knew that, or Arizona knew that Dayton would be hunting threes, and they just weren't there. I mean, it wasn't because, you know, Dayton had a game plan where they would only go for two. The threes just weren't there.
They weren't falling in.
They only got off 9 3-point attempts, and some of them were forced at the end of the game. They just Arizona completely took away the three. And going into this game, it was Arizona can't guard the three. Arizona can't guard the three. And then all of a sudden, you face one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country. And I'm not sure there's been a team that's guarded Dayton's three ball better all season. Like, literally.
No, I thought it was impressive, too.
There's been some games where Dayton's been cold from three, but a lot of those looks weren't open. Like, Kobe Brea made a few ones. Daron Holmes, look, if Daron Holmes wants to make, you know, shoot four threes, you kind of let him in and live with it, even though he made two. You know, but that going to that earlier and changing the coverage on the pick and roll with Ballo and all that, I thought changed the game. You know, you look at minutes. I know, Shelby, you're one of the many lamenting the play of Kylan Boswell. But he only played 18 minutes. Bradley played 27, right?
Yeah.
And we had wondered going into March, would Tommy Lloyd be willing to pull the plug on Boswell if he wasn't performing well? And Boswell, 18 of those minutes, 3 or 4 of them were for free throws, right? Mm-hmm. And he pulled the plug on Boswell. Boswell was not playing well. You know what's really funny, though, Shelby? And people at home, you're going to like this. I hate this stat, but it's funny tonight. Kylan Boswell had the highest plus minus on Arizona.
I knew you're going to be. I saw the plus minus after the game. I was like, ah.
But, listen, yeah, okay. I mean, but that's something too. Like, you have to have the ability. Like, there's no, you said it too a little bit, like when we were on the phone, like, there's no babying, there's no building confidence. There's no, if you don't cut it in March and you're not cutting it in a game, we don't have time for that. Like, you got to go to the bench. And I thought that Tommy did a very good job with that. I thought he did a great job trusting Krivas in a critical situation. I actually thought Krivas maybe should have played more. I thought those 9 minutes.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Even though it was 4 points and 4 rebounds and he had better statistical games, I thought keeping him in, and Tommy made a good point. He said, look, if Daron Holmes was going to pick and roll, we wanted him to feel it once he rolled, right? So it was either going to be Umar or Krivas waiting for him. And I think that was key because One of the scouting things on Holmes was, if you watch him too, he does not like to get physical. Holmes does not want physicality. That's one of the reasons why he doesn't pick up fouls. That, and for some reason he wasn't being called, but whatever.
He was given fouls.
He's not a physical player. And you could tell early on, Arizona wanted to set the tone with the key shot dunk and going to Umar to try to get Deron Holmes out of the game, or at least establish that physicality. Pella said that the scouting report said they didn't do great with physical teams, and that was clearly one of the strategies. But it really, Tommy Lloyd did not make one wrong decision in this win over Dayton.
No, I was actually pretty impressed. I did tell you, we had, I don't know if people realize this, we have multiple conversations. It's also hard to do the podcast when we're not sitting with each other. So we kind of pre-gamed it earlier before dinner, and I had some ranting that I need to get out. But I did think that as well. And I think that Krivas really kind of bothered Holmes quite a bit. I don't think that they really planned for him. And he was very effective when he was out on the court. I think that his hands have gotten much better, and he realized that he is the tallest person out there. And when he realizes that he and obviously Holmes is not going to push him around. He doesn't do well with a super physical center, as we learned this year, several games. I was kind of hoping to see him out there too, but that smaller lineup was working. And you had even told me, like, why put Krivas back out there when the smaller lineup is working? We can save him for another day. Obviously, we're saving Ballo for, you know, bigger, better games. So overall, I was really happy with Tommy. And again, with Kylan, it is frustrating. But I mean, we're lucky that we have the depth with Jaden. And when Jaden is playing well, like he did today, which I'm sure we're going to get into his shoutouts, you know, we're in a really good position. And if Kylan happens to have a great game, he definitely is a difference maker, and we'll take it. But I think one thing we learned today from this game is that Arizona can win when Kylan is not playing well, when he does not have his best game. So the whole narrative about, like, as Kylan goes, Arizona goes, is not accurate. And I like that, like, everything isn't just centered around him. Like, this is actually March. This is grown up big man time, like, to actually get out there and play ball. And everybody who needed to step up did step up today when some people didn't. So I think that is a blessing, and it's going to come in handy, obviously. What was the key to victory for you?
I mean, I kind of talked about it already, but just the ability to stop the three, right? Like, that was, you know, at the end of the day, we knew what would happen. Like, we knew what would happen with Dathan. We knew what the game would look like. We knew all of that. And so it was a matter of, you know, the game was very simple, right? This was a very simple game to predict. You're either going to stop the three or you're not. That's it. That's really what it came down to. And they did. And I thought that mixed with overall ball pressure, it was a situation where Arizona overall, you know, was the better team. They just thought, you know, I can analyze the shit out of this game and tell you about drop coverages and all that. And I completely get it. But at the end of the day, it was a situation where Arizona was just the better team, right?
Yeah. And honestly, who cares what they did wrong? Because they survived in advance and moving on to LA. That's basically what we need to know. Individual shout outs. There should be some good ones here.
Man, where do I start?
I know. Start from the top.
He finished 6 of 15, but Caleb Love just looked different than he has in a few weeks. He was 1 of 8 in the second half, which means that he was 5 of 7 in the first half. I thought he really helped set the tone. Dathan really made a concerted effort to take him out of the game. But, you know, the thing is, sometimes that'll work, and other times it kind of just opens up stuff for everybody else, and I felt like that's what it did. Pella, you know, Pella gets a bad rap from a lot of people, but I thought he was awesome. I mean, 13 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He played the most minutes on Arizona. His defense was fantastic. Yeah, he had a couple. I mean, look, guys aren't going to be perfect defensively, everyone. I mean, he was getting criticized. Oh, he let that guy shoot. It's like, look, he's not going to be perfect at all times.
And also, Pell just happens to get the dumbest foul. And, like, literally not because of him. He just is standing there. And he got a foul today that I thought was bullshit. But he usually is the guy that gets those. But he also is the one that drew a charge. And, I mean, he's everywhere. And, yeah, you know, you're playing against – he was guarding, like, some of – who was it? Was it Holmes at one point or was it Brea? I mean, like, he's trying to contain these guys who are still going to get a couple threes on him. Like, he's usually got the hardest defensive, you know, guy that he's guarding most games. But I was happy with him. Like, as long as the effort is there, like, he's going down to the mattresses. He's getting people hyped up. He's getting the crowd hyped up. You want that Pella. Like, he wasn't really that Pella the last game. So I think he kind of stepped up today. Obviously, I'm a little biased because he's my Swedish fish. And I was really, really happy with him today.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and look, again, like, I am higher on Pella than others, but that's my guy. I think he's more valuable to Arizona than people realize.
He's a blue guy.
You know, there were two very clear players of the game to me.
They were.
Keyshawn and Jaden were by far the best players on the court, in my opinion. You know, Keyshawn's versatility, the ability to play the five and go to the smaller lineup. I think he guarded everyone on the court. At one point, he was matched up with their point guard and held his own and all that. 13 points, 7 boards. You know, I thought he was fantastic, and I thought Jaden was just awesome. I think this is, you know, 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, didn't turn the ball over, defensive presence, ability to break the press. You know, I think that overall, he was absolutely fantastic. Look, I mean, KJ Lewis played 16 minutes. He had one of the plays of the game with his block on the three. Dathan's all of a sudden coming back, right? And he comes from behind and he blocks the three in transition. That was a big play. I mean, the only guy, like we talked about Ballo, but Ballo in his 22 minutes missed one shot. He had 8 points and 3 rebounds. It was just hard defensively to keep him in the game. The only guy that didn't have a very good game was Boswell. I mean, Arizona, top to bottom, just played well. And these are the kind of efforts that, you know, that this is how you win in March, right? You don't necessarily need a 30-point performance from a guy. It helps. But we just saw Oregon lose with two guys going apeshit because of the rest of the guys didn't step up and got tired or whatever it is. And it's hard to win when you're relying on one or two guys. And an effort like this, you know, I think when Arizona can do this with 4 or 5 guys, it goes a long way.
I also want to say, like, this was kind of the game where Bradley, it almost like he took that level up where we all watched it happen as far as really feeling like he was the guy on the floor running the show. And I've called it the floor general in the past. We've been missing that since CJ McConnell. Having that person who, you know, is galvanizing everyone. Now, Caleb has leadership skills and Pella has leadership skills, but they're both glue guys. They're both specialists. They're not the person that's actually like the ringleader. And I felt like you could see that. And I mean, it's that nascent beginning of it, but you can kind of see how he's going to grow into it. And they all respect him. And I mean, he's playing out there with Boswell. I mean, it's not like you got two guys that are fighting for it. I mean, everyone is playing well together. And I think that is a chemistry thing that is missing from a lot of teams that are in the tournament. Arizona is really well positioned with the distribution of like the leadership on the court. I was really happy today. So, you know, everyone should know you have to make Shelby happy first, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's the only priority we have.
All right. Well, kind of thinking about our next opponent, should Arizona fans be rooting for Baylor or Clemson?
No, I think a lot of Arizona fans or people in general are kind of chalking up Baylor as the win. I think this is actually going to be a close game. Some of you are going to be listening to this when the game's going on already, but they both actually pose issues for Arizona, just like Arizona poses issues for them. Baylor's a very good three-point shooting team, and they take a decent amount of threes, but so does Clemson. They're not as good statistically, but they take actually more threes than Baylor. Clemson is absolutely huge, Shelby. They play a 6'10 small forward.
Whoa.
They are a big, big team. I mean, look, both teams pose issues, right? They just do. And so it's going to be a good game. Look, Arizona's going to be favored over both, and it'll probably be a 4 to 6 point spread. But we'll see. But I think this time of year, you have to beat good teams. You're facing good teams. You know, it's interesting. We always talk about upsets and all that. A lot of it was chalk today, meaning the best teams are advancing, and that's what people wanted, and that's what you're getting. And, you know, we're in a Sweet 16, or half of it's done, and the best teams are there. Like, for the most part, I think North Carolina State is the only, you know, team that's kind of a surprise, but Arizona won, Gonzaga, North Carolina, Iowa State, Tennessee, Illinois, like those teams rolled, and maybe Sunday will be weird. I don't know, but we're noticing, we're noticing more separation than we probably thought, because I thought this tournament would be apeshit, and honestly, it has not been. The better teams are the better teams.
Yeah, and my better team, Gonzaga, absolutely murdered Kansas today. That was that was awesome. It is interesting that we haven't had, besides in the first round, you know, there's a couple of like upsets, but then those teams left today. Oakland lost, Duquesne lost. Means that the seeding actually might have been pretty right on, which some people kind of squawked about last Sunday, which, by the way, it's only been, well, the time of recording this is less than a week since we were at St. Phillips for the selection Sunday, and it feels like a million years ago already. So I guess we don't have it on here, but I mean, obviously something that's near and dear to our hearts too is the Arizona women's basketball team. They unfortunately just couldn't pull out the win today, but they literally took it down to the wire. And I was watching it with Brielle, who was super emotional. Obviously, Erica, our friend Erica and Ryder, was upset too. But I mean, I really think that just getting this team to the tournament, they won the buy-in game the other night, was an accomplishment considering they're down several people. They should have more players on that bench. Adia did a good job, and I think that she's positioned the players that are coming back next year for better success, for like giving them tournament experience. And I didn't want anyone to think, because we have been very good about mentioning the Arizona women, they deserve to not just be mentioned in our tag. They should be talked about and, you know, given their flowers. We're proud of you guys, proud of Adia, proud of the team, and Helena Pollo, and to Esme Martinez. Like, they're just absolute ballers, and especially Pollo. I always say her name wrong. Sorry. Helena, that is Brielle's favorite player. And she served Arizona well for a very long time, and we will miss her.
This was Brielle's first NCAA tournament that she was invested in, so she was bawling, and it's like, Brielle, I love you, man, but this shit's about to happen for the next 60 years.
Yeah, just if Arizona is your chosen team, get ready, man, to be
sorry,
like,
baby. This is the NCAA tournament, but at least she's learning. So
yeah,
all I know is this, Shelby. No matter where
no matter where you are, Salt Lake City, Tucson, or Los Angeles, and no matter what you do, you can always bear down.
We kind of joked also at the end, in terms of basketball, Tommy Lloyd winning in the same building as Mark Few in the first two teams in the Sweet 16. How effing happy
is Mark Few? They must be thrilled. They're win buddies.
I don't know if you heard it, but Mark Few said that Tommy Lloyd's daughter had been staying in their hotel room.
Oh, wow.
So they are, it goes beyond coaching. It is a legit.
Aw, that's family.
Very cool. Their Gonzaga team is actually waiting for Arizona, and the coaches and stuff hugged Arizona as they were going back to the locker room.
Aww.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.